Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, tonight I have good news about death. Well, maybe that's too much information. Maybe most of us who are sitting in this building tonight are still in that age of life where we're bulletproof, where we don't have to think very much about death or mortality, and we have our whole life stretching out in front of us, do we not? Perhaps you don't want to hear good news about death because in our society we try and hide from death. We try and isolate ourselves from the reality that death brings into our lives. And so as I was thinking about this, I was reminded of a Calvin and Hobbes cartoon. Calvin's sitting in class and his teacher's getting them to do some maths lesson. "Miss Wormwood, I have a question about this maths lesson." "Yes." "Given that sooner or later we're all just going to die, what's the point of learning about integers?" "Turn to page 83, class. Nobody likes us big picture people." So maybe tonight I'm being a big picture person. Who wants to think about death? Death is a reality in this world in which we live. And yet, good news about death and about resurrection is right at the very heart of the Christian message, the Christian gospel. And Paul brings us some of this good news about death and resurrection in the passage for tonight from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18. Let me turn to that page. I don't have the same Bible as you anymore, so I can't tell you what the page number is. My Bible started falling apart, and I was going to lose the whole of 1 Peter. It's kind of hanging by a thread, so I had to get a new one. So you'll have to look up the page number yourself. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, Paul begins speaking about the reality of death in this way. "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of people who have no hope." Paul wants his friends in Thessalonica to know and understand the truth of the good news about death and resurrection. As a pastor, I've been at a lot of funerals. Some of them have been funerals of people who have lived a long, rich life, who have died perhaps at the end of a significant illness. And for those kind of funerals, for people of faith, there's always a sense of celebration and of God having done something good. However, I've also been at funerals of Christians which can only be described as tragic circumstances. Tragic circumstances. The second funeral that I actually conducted as a pastor was the funeral of a lady in our parish in Nambour who was a faithful Christian. She came to church almost every week. She was doing a pastor's class so that she could learn more about her faith. She also suffered from mental illness, and all the indications were that she had taken her own life. And yet, still, in a circumstance like that, the funeral was imbued with hope and hopefulness that God was holding her, even in the midst of that, in his hands. And that, yes, we grieve when someone dies, someone that we love, because we know that we're not going to be able to communicate with them and see them like we used to do when they were alive. But we don't grieve in the same way as those who have no hope. We grieve because we lose the person for a time, but we grieve with hope. And like I said, right at the heart of the Christian message is this good news about death, We believe in the resurrection of the body. That's right there in the Apostles' Creed. Now, interestingly, it doesn't say, and perhaps sometimes we confuse this a bit, we believe in the immortality of the soul. A person is not just some kind of spiritual thing that wafts off into space to be with God when the body dies. God holds us together as physical and spiritual beings. And the good news about death is that God is going to do something about the resurrection of the body. He is going to reunite us as whole persons, held together in Christ. So do not grieve like those who have no hope, writes Paul. The hope that we have in death comes in the very next verse, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. Paul writes, "We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." This is our hope. Through our baptism, we are connected to the death of Jesus. Through our faith in Jesus, we are connected right into his resurrection. And just as God brought Jesus very physically from the dead and raised him up, so also God will bring with Jesus all those who are connected into his death and resurrection. And so, in a way, Jesus' resurrection and ours follow a similar pattern. What happened to Jesus will also happen to us. We've been given the end of the story. It's as if we had a peek at the very last chapter of a mystery, and we know exactly what's going to happen in the end. We don't know all of the chapters in between. We don't know the things that will happen between now and then. But Jesus' resurrection is a pattern and a type of what will happen to all Christians. We know the end of the story. And it's a good ending. It's not a bad ending. We don't grieve like those who have no hope. So we've been given a sneak peek, if you like, at the final chapter of our own lives. And that chapter has us being raised by God, all those who have fallen asleep. I don't know how he's going to do it. It's got more to it than just shuffling around atoms, that's for certain. God will reunite both body and spirit and raise us with Jesus. Paul talks here about those who have fallen asleep in him. Interestingly, the New Testament uses the metaphor or the imagery of sleep quite often for death, for those who are in Christ. I think, I have a sense that this means something like, when you enter into a deep, dreamless sleep, it's not that you stop existing, but you cease to experience the flow of time. And when you wake up, time has elapsed, but you're not aware of what has happened in that time. A couple of those passages which talk about death being very much like sleep are found in John chapter 11, verse 11 to 14. And I'll just read that to you. This is in the story about the death of Lazarus. Jesus says, he went on to tell his disciples, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him." So Jesus clearly uses sleep as a very strong metaphor or simile for death for Lazarus. Another one is in Mark chapter 5, verse 38 to 41. And this is the story of Jesus raising the young girl. Verse 38 says, "When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly." They were grieving. They were grieving as if there was no hope. "He went in and said to them, 'Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep.' But they laughed at him." They knew that she was dead. Jesus knew that she was asleep. So he kicks them out. After he had put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, and they went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, 'Talitha kum,' which means, 'Little girl, I say to you, get up.' Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old." So, death is like sleep. I was trying to think of a modern-day metaphor or parallel, and perhaps the one that gets close, I don't know, maybe in some sense, is this. My daughters like to play the game The Sims, all right? Making artificial people, and they kind of live in houses and they interact with each other. When they save the game and exit and turn the computer off, if those Sims were alive, and I'm not suggesting that they are, they would cease to experience any passing of time within their world. But when the girls come back, turn the computer on, and go into the program once again, the saved game pops up, and the Sims keep on living just as they were before everything else happened. And I think that there's something that's a little bit like what God does too. He holds us in his care. He remembers us. He keeps us together after death, even though we're not experiencing existence in the normal sense. Those who fall asleep in him, as I said before, this is in Christ. We are connected into Jesus' death and resurrection through our baptism. And that's spoken of very powerfully in Romans chapter 5. Let me just find that. Sorry, Romans 6. "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection." That's powerful, powerful good news for us. Paul goes on in Thessalonians and says what's going to happen when the Lord returns. In verse 16 of chapter 4, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." With a loud command, something like, "Lazarus, come forth. Little girl, I say to you, get up." This will be the alarm clock that there will be no snoozing. This will be the one that you won't want to keep sleeping. When Jesus speaks his creative word and raises us from death to bring us to be with him, no snooze button this time. Jesus, his word, will wake us and raise us from the sleep of death. His command, his creative word. Well, the literal scientist part of me kicks up a bit at the next verse and says, "What? What's happening here?" In verse 17, "After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." What's going on here? And so back to my favorite philosopher, Calvin. What do you think that cloud looks like? bunch of suspended water and ice particles? Why? Everybody hates a literalist. We're not meant to take this literally, that we will be sitting on white puffy clouds in heaven. In the Bible, the cloud, the cloud is a symbol of the presence of God. You might remember that the cloud comes down on top of the mountain when Jesus is transfigured before his disciples. If you look around in the Old Testament, you find that the cloud came down on Mount Sinai when God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, and also that a cloud filled the temple of Solomon when Solomon dedicated the temple. So don't be a literalist here. Don't think this means a bunch of suspended water and ice particles that we're going to float around on. No, the cloud is the presence of God. And we who are called from the sleep of death by Jesus will be meeting Jesus in the presence of God. Oops, going the wrong way. Good news about death. Jesus' resurrection is very closely connected with our own resurrection. We do not need to grieve as those who have no hope. We do have hope. We know that Jesus will wake us from the sleep of death, and that as Paul concludes this passage, we will be with the Lord forever. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. This is the good news about death and resurrection. Thanks be to God for his grace for us. Amen.